you're here tonight. If you would take your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 13, please. Exodus chapter 13. Brother Parker was here this morning. Some of you were down in the kitchen and were preparing, and some were in junior church and other places, and we're glad you're here. So you didn't hear this message on Exodus 12 from Brother Parker this morning. I kind of thought, oh no, when I heard him begin right here. But you know, there's a reason why we're here. I told somebody, I said, this is the first time I've really preached from this. Every Memorial Day weekend, it seems like I get the opportunity to preach. And it is it's a privilege to do so. It's always a privilege to be able to take God's word. It's a great responsibility because I realize that not only those that preach the word are supposed to live by the word. And so I trust you have your Bible open there to Exodus chapter 13. You know, Ira Sankey was a song leader for D.L. Moody. And he was traveling, he was traveling down a steamer down the Delaware River, and he was asked to sing and lead the group in the song, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. When he had finished the song, a man came out of the shadows and asked Mr. Sankey, he said, did you ever serve in the Union Army? And Sankey answered, yes. He said it was in the spring of 1860. Well, the man said, can you remember if you were doing picket duty on a bright moonlit night in 1862? Now, I must confess that Mr. Sankey must have had a great memory because he said, yes, I was doing that. And this fellow said, so did I. I remember you doing that. But he said, I was serving in the Confederate Army. He said, when I saw you standing at your post, I thought to myself, that fellow will never get away alive. He said, I raised my musket and took aim. I was in the shadows and you were in full sunlight. Moonlight. And he said, the moonlight was falling on you. At that instant, just as a moment ago, he said, you raised your voice and you sang that song, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. He said, I'll let him sing it to the end. And then he said, my bullet will meet its mark. He said, but you sang the song and you sang these words perfectly. We are thine, do thou befriend us. Be the guardian of our way. He said, as I heard you sing those songs, it stirred up some memories in my heart. Because he said, my mother used to sing that song to me as well. And he said, by the time you got finished, I couldn't do it. He said, my arm dropped limp by my side and I didn't do what I purported to do that evening. So this fellow was thinking about memories. And there's certain events and things in our life that stir up memories. And sometimes memories become memorials. They become memorials that we chronicle sometimes. We write them down. Other memorials become artifices, statues and things to cause us to remember people or events of historical significance. And, you know, as we are on the eve of, again, Memorial Day weekend, and tomorrow's Memorial Day in America, I want us to consider a memorial that God set here in Exodus chapter 12 and 13. If you're a Bible reader, you know already that this talks about the Passover. If you're here this morning, you heard that as well. But and I don't want to belabor this because I want to tonight bring to you some memorials that I think we need to remember. That we need some spiritual hallmarks in our life. And we need some national hallmarks in our life that we remember. But here in Exodus chapter 13, I want you to look with me at verse number 3. And the Bible says this, it says, and Moses said unto the people, remember this day. That's the title of my message tonight. Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. You see, this is the event that started Israel leaving Egypt and sending them into the promised land that God had promised to them. And this event was a very significant event because this was the last of the 12 plagues. And it didn't look like Israel was going to get out because the last 9, Pharaoh said, no, you can't go. But you know what? This one was so significant, it showed the power of God. And it was so significant that even some years later, Rahab said, we've heard the story and we remember what your God did. It was a significant event. The Passover is. It is so significant that Jews today still celebrate Passover. Even Messianic Jews know that Jesus is the Messiah, celebrate the Passover, but with a new significance. And then they go beyond that to the next great event that showed God's awesome power. And I'm excited about this one. And that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the next thing on God's, I don't want to say calendar, but it's a thing that really showed his awesome power is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And that is why he tells us to remember this do in remembrance of me. I don't want to get started in Hebrews. Don't get me started there. But he is the first begotten of the dead. And that is talking about the resurrection. And there's a significance there that is so wonderful and so great. We ought to rejoice in what our Savior has done for us. He brought us out of the world into his marvelous light. Now, I'm preaching. I wasn't going to preach tonight. But when you get on the resurrection and when you get on what salvation means, it's exciting. And that's what God did for us. Now, this was a promised moment here in Exodus chapter 12. Because God had promised to Abraham in Genesis 15:14 that he said, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they will come out. I want you to know this evening, and I want you to take notice that God is a promise-keeping God, and God keeps his promises. When God says something, he will do it. Let every man's a liar, but God is true, and his word is true, and when he keeps his word, it just glorifies him more. He is worthy of our praise, so God is going to do that. And the Bible tells us that this Exodus was the self-same day that they went in. Only God can do that. Look with me over in chapter 12, in verse 41, the Bible says this, and it came to pass, at the end of the 430 years, even the self-same day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. In verse 51, and it came to pass the self-same day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. You see, and I've already said this, it didn't look like they were going to get out. It didn't look like Pharaoh was going to let them out, because Pharaoh, remember, Moses said to Pharaoh, let my people go. The Lord said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should listen to him? And he showed him who he was. He showed him definitely, because there was not one household that did not put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel where one person was dead, from Pharaoh to the peasants. All the way, there was somebody that was dead. God says, without the blood covering, the death angel will take away life. There's no life. So it's always the blood. So God promised, and the character of God is surely exalted in how he keeps his word. God keeps his word. You know, in these days, in this time, people are saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they are, as they were from the beginning. But they're ignorant of one thing, and that ignorance is that there was a flood, and God sent the flood, and God is going to keep his promises again. He's not going to only take away this earth with, not a flood, but with fire. And fire is going to purge this earth and cleanse it from the way we've messed it up. So God keeps his promises. And he tells us, what kind of people should we be then? Knowing that everything's going to be burned up. I like that song you sang. You're going to sing it fifth Sunday again, guys, all right? You're going to sing that fifth Sunday. That's next Sunday, by the way. Fifth commercial break. It is fifth Sunday next Sunday, and if you are planning to sing and participate, would you please let me know? And I think next Sunday we've been fooded out. So next Sunday we're just going to sing and go home. Is that all right with you? Yeah, man. All right, thank you. Do I have a motion to carry it there? All right, so we've got the no food next Sunday. We're going to have food tonight. This is the pre one, all right? So no food. We're going to sing. And so please, and ladies, Sarah, where are you? You guys are going to sing that song again too, all right? So we got two specials already on there for next Sunday. All right, so God keeps his promises. We're back to the message. God keeps his promises. But not only that, it was a prominent moment in Israel's history. The fact of the matter is that not only was the Exodus from Israel promised, it was the biggest event in Israel's history until Calvary. And on this evening, the death angel would pass over the houses that had the blood covering. And it's interesting, if you would look with me, they take a hyssop and put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, picturing what? If you put the connect the dots, it makes a what? A cross. And it's without the blood of Jesus Christ, we can never, never have our sins atoned for. There's no atonement without the blood of Jesus Christ, our Son. His blood cleanses us from all sin. Somebody say amen right there. That's exciting. It cleanses us from all sin. And this was a prominent moment in their life. It was an action of faith for the children of Israel to put the blood on there as God said and do it his way. And those who did as God instructed and obeyed his word were saved. They were rescued. They were covered. And those who apply the blood of Jesus to their life have their sins forgiven. They're covered. And you do that by faith. You see, those people look forward to Calvary, and we look back to Calvary. The cross is the most significant event in God's history, because all of history is his history. It's all about him and how he works. So God instructed Israel, this is a significant day. I want you to remember this day. Remember this day. Passover was to be celebrated annually by the children of Israel. But it wasn't enough that it was just to be remembered. It was to be celebrated. They were to celebrate what God had done. They were to remember what God had done for them. And when they did not do that, when they did not remember it, and there were several times that they did not have the Passover, when they did that, there was always a spiritual decline among the people. They always went backwards when they didn't remember what God had done for them. It's significant. You see, it became a factor causing them to depart from the Lord. When Israel did decline spiritually, Scripture points out that it was accompanied by forgetfulness. They forgot what God did. They forgot important occasions in their history. For example, in Psalms 106, verse 13, 21, and 22, the Bible says this, they soon forgot his works. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wonderful works in the land of Ham, and awesome things by the Red Sea. And God warned Israel not to forget the Lord their God. Don't you forget me? Don't you forget what I've done? Remember this day. The annual Passover event was to remind them of the significance of God's tremendous deliverance of his people and bringing them out so that he could bring them in to himself. He said, I brought you out of Egypt to bring you in and unto me. And isn't that what salvation's all about? We've been brought out of the world to be brought into his marvelous light. I'm glad I'm saved, are you? It's important. Now, in our history, in our particular moments, there are moments in our lives that are more significant than others. And I think if you'll think with me tonight, there are some things that, as you think back in your memories, there are significant events in your life when God came and he touched you and did something for you. And it's changed your life completely. You know, to forget these particular moments in life is to foster decline in our spiritual life and character. When we forget what God's done, when we forget the memorials that he's done in our life, and there's memorials that each of us need to remember and to memorialize in our life. Let me share with you some particular moments I think we need to memorialize personally. First of all, there's spiritual hallmarks or spiritual memorials that we need to remember. And the first one is that of salvation. And Brother Parker made a big deal about that, and he always makes a big deal about our salvation. He says, you need to take it down, you need to examine it, you need to look at it, and you need to thank God for it. You know, the fact of the matter is, the more you understand about what Jesus did for your salvation and for mine, the more holy, the more healthy you'll be. And the reason why I think we have a decline in our holiness and a decline in our spiritual health is because we don't avail ourselves of the grace that we have, and we forget. We forget that we've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. We forget that we're the children of light. We're no longer the children of darkness. We forget. And when we forget, we go into spiritual decline. So we need to remember our salvation. Remember who we are. We're no longer sinners. We're saints. We're the children of God. And we're to glorify Him by living a holy life. You see, we need to remember that. We need to remember. We need to chronicle our salvation. It's a big deal. It's changed our destiny. About 3 years ago. It would be 3 years ago in July. I was going through some of my dad's personal belongings. And I found, and this is not the original, it's a copy of my dad's, it's his own handwriting. It was done in pencil. And as I told Kay this afternoon, we was talking, I said, this is pretty significant to me. This is more significant than anything else my dad left me. We need to chronicle our salvation. My dad was a man of few words. He did not talk a lot. But some things he wrote in this are incredible. I'm not going to read you all of it, but this is what he says about his salvation. He said, through good preaching and reading of the Word of God, I realized even I was in need of salvation. And then he puts in parentheses, for all have sinned. He said, I can remember no specific date, but I know in whom I have believed, and that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him until that day. He says, that day being His return or my resurrection. He said also, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. And then he goes on, talks about since salvation, I've continued to praise and worship Him. Prayer has become a more important part of my life and my spiritual gift, that being of encourager and a servant to others. And he goes on. Amen. But you know what? This is priceless to me. I knew my dad was saved, and in his death he glorified the Lord too. I can't help but sing that song. When he reaches out his hand, takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. And I remember that day my dad taking my hand when we sang that part of the song. And I knew it was just a testimony. And death is a horrible thing. But I assured in my heart through that and my dad's testimony that he was born again. Listen, you need to chronicle your salvation. You need to tell folks about your salvation. You need to tell them when you were saved and tell them not only just it was an event in the past, but it's still happening now. I am being saved. What do I mean by that? Sanctification. I'm being saved from sin, from sin, and I shall be saved. That's glorification. Glory, it's glory all the way. Salvation is a big deal, and you need to write it down. You need to chronicle it. Our generation doesn't do that very much, but if you use apps, there is an app. It's a journal app, and you can journal it right there. You can put pictures of yourself with the journal, but chronicle your salvation. Write it in your own hand. Write it and put it somewhere where your children and the generations following you can see something. Look at your great-grandfather. Look at your great-great-grandfather. Knew Christ as a Savior. It's a big deal. Chronicle it. Memorialize it. Talk about it. Share your testimonies of family. It's a big deal. It's changed your eternal destiny from hell to heaven. Thank the Lord Jesus. Amen. But you know something else we need to chronicle is answered prayer. Memorialize answered prayer. Write it down because we forget. We have a tendency to forget what God's done. God will answer a prayer and we'll just go on our way. I'm thankful for people like David Brainerd and for people like George Mueller. Is that the guy? Yeah. George Mueller, who wrote down answers to prayer and what God has done. And we reap, we benefit from the blessings that God has done for them. But can I say this tonight? It wasn't just for Murray and for Mueller and for all those other people. Answered prayer is for you. Because the Bible tells us to come boldly before the throne of grace that we may find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And He's a helpful high priest. He's a great high priest. The word is megon. It's mega. We say mega. He's a wonderful high priest. He's awesome. And He can be touched. He knows what it's like to be human because He's the Son of Man. And you can come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain mercy. Oh, His mercy endures how long?
Forever.
And find grace to help in time of need. All the grace you need, whatever you need. And the reason why we don't live a holy, healthy life is because we don't ask for grace. He said, come. He didn't just say, tiptoe in. He said, come boldly. We have access to His throne. And we can ask. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, I will what? Do it. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. What a wonderful Savior. Chronicle answers to prayer. And then go back and look. For a time in my life, and I have several journals written, and someday my dear sons will go through all that mess. Bless your heart. But they'll read those journals, and I've chronicled answers to prayer. I've chronicled things so they can look back. Because after you're gone, your life is, people forget. But what is written, what's chronicled, is a memory. It's a memorial of what God has done in a person's life. So we need a chronicle answered prayer. But could I go farther? For those of us who have been called to the ministry, and by the way, all of us have, but some of us have been called out to the gospel ministry, we need to chronicle that too. When God called us into the gospel ministry, we need to chronicle it. We need to say, this is when God did it. This is when God spoke to my heart. I was a 9-year-old boy in 1971. I had no idea what was going on, but I said, God's trying to speak to me, Mom. And she shared with me Ephesians about He called some this and to walk worthy of the ministry wherewith you've called, wherewith you're called. In 1979, Youth Haven Ranch, Rives Junction, Michigan, on a cement floor beside a double-decker bed, I said, Lord, here am I. Send me. I don't know what you want to do, but I'm here. Chronicle that so that others can say, wow, if he can use that 17-year-old when he was 17, he could use me. And the reason why I did that is there was a man named Don Gomeson, and he had a testimony at 17. God called him to the gospel ministry. And that spoke to my heart. I wasn't thinking about the ministry. I was just saying, Lord, use me. Use me. And from that, from the time I was younger, I wanted to be in the ministry. And thank God, by His grace, He's been faithful to put me in the ministry. He's done that. What has He done for you? Chronicle what He's done. And it goes beyond salvation. There's so many things He's done for us. Make a memorial of it. Remember this day. Remember it. But can I also go on to say there's another spiritual hallmark we need to remember, and that is our church anniversary. Our church anniversary is a thing that is significant that we need to memorialize. March 13th, 1977. It is an important day in your history, in our history as a church. And God brought 42 people out that He might bring them in. Bring them into what? Well, I got another document here. It's this little thing about the story of God's continuing grace. The Lord allowed me to write this, and I had to go through the church documents. I'm glad people wrote things down. And my heart was touched as I read it. But here's one. March 13th, 1977, the first organized meeting of what would become the Victory Baptist Temple took place then. The following is the exact opening church minutes taken by Brother Edwin Thompson. Having felt led of God to begin a new work, a group of Bible believers met in the home of Brother Harvey and Sister Thena Wilson on March 13, 1977, to organize a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church. On that night, Brother McFadden sang, Win the Lost at Any Cost, and Cheryl played the piano. Brother Parker's message was entitled, The Church as One Body in Christ. And it goes on. It talks about the miraculous things that happened. It's like bing, bing, bing. And the sacrifices that people made so that you and I can enjoy this service tonight. Amen. We need to memorialize it. We need to celebrate it. And the fact of the matter is, I don't think we make a big deal about it. Because the generations following, she has no clue why or reason why this church started. She doesn't know why an independent, fundamental Bible church is important. She has no clue. And there's lots of young people that don't. So you know what? I'm proposing something I think we ought to do. On that day, when we celebrate the church anniversary, we need to make a big deal about it, but we also need to rehearse what God has done. What did He do? Why are we here? We're not just here. We're not just meeting just to have church. There's a reason why an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church is in Piedmont, Missouri. Because God chose a man and God chose some people who said, we need to make a difference. We need to glorify God. We need to follow the Bible. And we need to, and soul winning and separation are a big deal. And can I say, in this day and age, those are still important. Soul winning and separation are still vitally important in our day and time. Because the world's getting more impure, and they need the pure word of God's word to help, not to help, to clean them, to cleanse them from all their unrighteousness. It's still important. There's still a need today. And we need to memorialize the works that God has done for us. Both in what we've seen, and I'm going to borrow from Scripture here, and which we've heard with our ears, what our fathers have told us. And we need to do that because the younger generation needs to know the spiritual significance of why this church is here. And the remembrance of God's works shows us the influence of God's word on our life. The reason why this church is here is because somebody named Clifford Rice had a two-week revival at another church in this town, and God used the word to call out people to get this church here. Not that we're any better, but there need to be a testimony. There need to be a difference. And you need to know that. And it needs to be a big deal. Amen. So there needs to be spiritual hallmarks. But there's also some national hallmarks I think we need to make a bigger deal about. When I think about that, I think about 9/11. 9/11 had a profound effect on, a patriotic effect on America. You'll remember that. Those, most of you hopefully will remember that. It's like flags come out. People are excited about being an American again. You wear these, you know, flag lapels on your lapel and all of that. To remember and to be thankful for the freedom that we have in America. We're still free. And significant moments in history of our country need to be duly honored. My dad, the longer my dad's gone, the more I read and find about him. He was a charactered man and he was patriotic. If there's one thing that dad did was every day the flag could be flown, he flew it. Memorial Day weekend, he'll have the flag out. July 4th, he'll have the flag out. Flag Day, June 14th, he'll have the flag out. He was patriotic. I don't know who taught him that, but somebody did. It's probably my grandfather or grandmother. They taught him, hang out the flag. Put it out. And to honor my dad and to honor our country and the people who sacrificed for us, I put my flag out. Amen right there, boys? Can you say amen right there? Yeah, okay. All right. I almost went and bought each of you your own flag to have at your houses, too. Put it out. Patriotism. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And I'm thankful for today, for Memorial Day. I'm thankful for the unspeakable, precious sacrifices that men and women have made so that we can enjoy our freedom. And secondly, I'm thankful that we set aside a day to honor those people. You know that Memorial Day didn't used to be called Memorial Day. It was called Decoration Day, when we decorated the graves of people and honored the dead, honored them for their sacrifices. But we memorialize, we remember, we look back and remember. And it's important so that because we so easily forget, we forget the sacrifices. And through the history of the nation of Israel, at the time of the judges, reveals it's not just Americans who have foggy memories. The Israelites had foggy memories too. Time and again, Israel forgot God. And Israel's history was rich in the acts of God and what he'd done for them. But they soon forget. They forgot. And you know what? Our history in America is rich, but sadly, liberals and others are extracting those from history books. Because people that are ignorant of their history are condemned to repeat those same things again. You know, I'm thankful for Christian textbooks and Christian schools when we have the liberty still in this school to tell people about, and the young people about, their history, American history. It wasn't a revolution. It was a declaration of independence. And those people fought for principles. And they believed in authority, something we forget about, authority. And they said, King George, we're under your authority. And they sent him the olive branch petition. He sent back, I don't want you anymore. You're not under my authority. And they said, we got to be under some authority. Something that most people today, they don't want any authority. They don't want to be the authority. But they said, we got to be under some authority. We need to be under the authority of God. And one of the battle cries during the war for independence was this: no king, but King Jesus. You won't find that one around in your history books this year, will you? It's been extracted because we don't want to say anything about Jesus. But no king, but King Jesus. Is it no wonder that God did some amazing things during those wars? We should have lost, but God preserved us a nation. And it's a wonderful thing. And so the children of Israel, they forgot. In Judges chapter 8, verse 34, it says, and the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. So our history is rich with leaders who knew the Lord and whose heart's desire was to establish and maintain a nation in which the gospel of Christ could be freely propagated. That was the whole thing. So that the word of God could be propagated to the world. And that's the purpose of America. They recognize that at the heart, the need for freedom is for every person to have personal liberty. And liberty, personal liberty, comes from Jesus Christ. That's where liberty truly begins. And when we forget that, and when we forget the God of this book, we will be in bondage. And we're beginning to see some beginnings of that, aren't we? Because we have forgotten. We have forgotten. And most of American and our leadership, they don't want any mention of God. There was a 12-year-old girl that got in trouble because she said something about Jesus. I thought we lived in a free America, but people don't want to hear about Jesus. And they don't want his name anywhere. Why? Because there's power in that name. He is the authority. He is king. And someday, even those folks who don't want to hear it will bow the knee and say, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So many, we need to remember our national history. May we never forget tonight that God, who's provided so great salvation, has also made and preserved us a nation in America. Even as Israel repeatedly forgot God who created her nation and preserved her heritage and delivered them from her invaders, I'm concerned tonight that we are forgetting what God has done for us. So let's remember. Let's make some memorials. Let's remember this day. There's some days you need to remember. One is your day of your salvation. Remember, chronicle, write down answers to prayer that God's done for you. Remember our church anniversary. It is significant. And God is the one who established this church. But he uses people. And he used those 43 people to establish Victory Baptist Temple. And that's significant. And then remember the sacrifices that people have made so that you and I can still hear freely the Word of God, so that we can still propagate the Word of God and tell people that you must be born again. Tell it, share it with folks, because it's significant. Let's pray together.